How y'all doing this morning? Good. Praise the Lord. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. You know, I'm so excited to be back here in the pulpit. I don't know if you're excited. After last week, praise the Lord, I'm glad to see you're back, you know. But Pastor Tim has asked again that I come up and minister the word of God this morning. And so that's what I'm going to do. If you don't like me, if you don't like what you heard last week, if you don't like what you're going to hear this week, come back next week. Pastor Tim will be back. He is the man of God appointed and anointed to pastor this church. I'm not the pastor here. So if you're visiting here today, I just wanted to introduce myself real quick. My name is Reverend Savante. I'm a graduate of the Ministry Training Center here at Family Church. And I've been mentoring and training under Pastor Tim for the last, I think it's been 10 years now. And so he's called upon me to go ahead and minister the word of God this morning. And I believe, as always, I've got a word from heaven here this morning. So praise the Lord. Go ahead and open your Bibles. We're going to go to Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to start in verse 1 today. And just as a means of review of last week, you know, last week I talked about our identity in Christ. You know, Jesus spoke these words in John chapter 17. He said this. He says, he's praying to the Father, and he says, "Father, sanctify them according to your truth, for your word is truth." And so I brought out last week about how we're supposed to identify. We're supposed to separate ourselves from the world and identify and unite ourselves with God. And we do that by forsaking the things of the world. Because remember, we learned last week that if we are friends with the world, it doesn't matter Democrat or Republican, you know, it doesn't matter if it's vaccinated, unvaccinated. If you are siding with the world, I don't care how much it lines up with the Bible per se, then we are making ourselves an enemy of God. We are supposed to identify as the body of Christ. And that's what I brought out last week. And the basis of that message last week was this. It was unity. Right? It was unity as the body of Christ, as believers in Jesus Christ, because unity is what brings the power of God. And unity happens as we all gather around the word of God here on Sunday mornings, as we gather around the word of God in the privacy of our own homes. We need to get the word of God so that we can be changed. It's the only thing in this world that can physically, mentally, spiritually change us. It's the word of God. Praise the Lord. So we need to remember that. And while this is not a part two, I'm continuing on with the idea of unity. Unity in the body of Christ is of utmost importance. It's how the church in the book of Acts operated. It's how we are supposed to operate today in unity. And there's a great lack of power in the church. There's a great lack of power in our lives because we're not dwelling together in unity. And I'm going to show you here today that it's because of this. It's because of pride. Pride has crept into the church, it's crept into our lives, and it's subtle. You know, sometimes we think of pride as, which it is, pride is arrogance, it's bold, it's out there. Everybody knows the prideful person, right? You know, me, myself, I was a champion pride bag. I was a champion pride bag back in the day. Listen, this is a great story. My wife did not like me very much in high school. Because I was a champion pride bag. So I was a runner. I was one of the best in the area. I mean, that's not me being prideful right now, but I'm just saying, like, that's just how it was. Like, and you know, but the thing is, I knew it. And I was so proud of that fact. I was like, oh yeah, I'm awesome. Like, big, you know, what is it? Big king, big wolf on campus? I don't know what they call it, what they say. Anyway, you know, so I was so prideful. And of course, my English teacher in 10th or 11th grade, she goes, "I want you to write an essay and I want you to brag about yourself." I was like, "Woo, there we go. Here's my chance." I did so good on that essay. She called me up in front of the class and she's like, "Savante, I want you to read this essay in front of everyone." And Tiffany's sitting in the back of the class. I didn't even really know her at that time. She was the quiet girl, you know. We weren't friends in high school. You know, we didn't, she hated me apparently. I didn't really know her. But she's sitting back there. She's like, "This guy is so arrogant. This guy is so prideful." Now, I'm saying this here. I'm not saying I've arrived. I'm not saying I've gotten rid of all pride in my life, but it's been a work in progress since high school, and it's a continual work. We will never perfectly rid ourselves of all pride. It's always gonna try to rear its ugly head in our lives. It's a battle that I have to deal with all the time to get that pride out so that I don't keep myself out of the plans and purposes of God. The Bible says that he has plans for us, plans not to harm us, but to prosper us, to give us a hope and a future. But guess what? Pride in our lives can keep you out of those plans. Pride in life can hurt you. It will harm your life. It will tear up your marriage. It will tear up your relationships. It'll tear up your friendships. It'll tear up the church if pride gets in and it's allowed to linger in our lives. Praise the Lord. So, Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to go ahead and start in verse 1. And it says this, "If therefore be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, and if any bowels of mercies, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded." Everyone say like-minded. That's unity. "Having the same love," again, unity, "of one accord," unity, "and of one mind." Again, that's unity. Go on to verse 3. "Let nothing be done through strife or through vainglory," pride, "but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem each other better than themselves." Be humble, right? It says, "Look not every man to his own things, but look every man also on the things of others." And this is the dinger here. It says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." And normally we stop there, but I'm going to keep going. "But made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being in the found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." A lot of times you look at that Bible verse there and we think of it in the means of our authority, of walking like God, and that's true. You know, we can have the mind of Christ. We can walk in the power of God. He said on this earth that we should do the works that he did while he walked this earth, right? So we need to do that. But we also can't forget that this isn't just about I'm the powerful man of God and I'm like Jesus, walking in his shoes, talking like him, acting like him, because we cannot and will not be those things. We will not see the power of God in our lives if we are not acting like Jesus in humility. Isn't that how the power of God worked in his life? Is through humility? You see, Jesus had every reason, he had every right to come down to this earth and be prideful. He was the Son of God, right? He was God in the flesh. He could perform miracles. He could do signs and wonders. He could walk on the water. He could call down a legion of angels at any point in time. He could do all of these things. He could the water into wine. He could turn the rocks into bread so that he could feed himself. He had every means of power in his life to show his pride. But instead, he humbled himself. He took upon himself the fashion of a man. He became a servant, right? He served those among him, those people who were sinners, those people who were far off from God, those people who were even caught in the very act of adultery. He humbled himself to bring mercy and grace to them so that they could be saved. Isn't that what we talked about last week, about making sure that we're not pushing people out of our lives because we're too prideful, we're too good for them, we're Christians, so we're better than them? No, we're Christians. That doesn't make us better than anybody outside of these four walls. It doesn't make us better than anybody at another church. It doesn't make us better than anybody on the streets. It doesn't make us better than a drug addict. It doesn't make us better than anybody else out there. Just because we're Christians. And we need to be humble and take upon ourselves the life of a servant and go out and reach those people that are lost and broken and hurting, but it only comes through humility. Only comes through humility. James chapter 4 says this. It's in verse 6. It says, "God resists the proud and he gives grace unto the humble." He gives grace. Why is grace so important? Why do we need grace? Grace is of utmost importance to the life of the believer. Grace is the power of God for us. Actually, grace in the Greek is the word charis, which is also the root of the word charisma. Anybody heard of the word charisma? We're the charismatics or the charismaniacs, you know, right? Right? But the word charisma in the Greek, it means a special endowment or a gift. A special endowment and a gift. You know, so if we are going to walk in God's power, if we're going to walk in the giftings and callings that he's put on our life, we need to have grace. But grace is not going to be available to us in this life if we are full of pride. Praise the Lord. Are we going to take on the humble identity with Christ, to walk with God as Christ did, to have the same mind of Christ, to dwell in unity with the Father and unity with each other, right? Because Christ was in unity with everyone he came in contact with, right? He was in unity because he knew that in order to reach people, he had to be in unity with them. It doesn't mean that he agreed with everything that they did. Doesn't mean that he agreed with all of their doctrines, but he dwelled together in unity with people on this earth. Or in our pride, are we going to resist God? Are we going to resist his plans for our life and for those around us? What we do may not impact the whole world as it did with Jesus' life. Right? Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection, his humbling affected the entire world. But that doesn't mean that our humbling of ourselves is not going to affect the people around us. Because people see pride in us. And pride, it stinks. We need to get that stink off of us because I don't know about you, I don't want to be around people who stink. Right? I mean, you don't. No, obviously, if somebody stinks, I'm going to go preach the gospel to them anyway. You know, I'm going to humble myself and put my flesh under and go do it. But in general, people don't want to be around other people that stink, and pride stinks. It reeks of Satan. It reeks of the devil, and it reeks of death and destruction, right? People who are prideful are going to tear others down. They're not going to build them up, right? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Humility brings the power. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, 1. The reason why we are lacking power today is a reason that was actually prophesied, and it's this, it's pride. It was prophesied in the book of Timothy, Paul's letter to Timothy. Paul prophesied the days that we're living in. Right here and right now. He prophesied this pride, this prideful culture, this prideful life that we're all living in, we're all a part of, and this pride that's trying to seep into our lives. And it's so amazing that he really, in all of these ways, it was spot on. I don't know what it was like to live back in Paul's day. I don't know what it was like to live back in the you know, 1800s and, you know, 1900, or I do know what it's like to live in the 1900s. I'm thinking the 800s and like the, you know, the days of Christopher Columbus. I don't know how much pride was around at that time, but I do know there's an awful lot of pride right here and right now in our culture and our society. So we need to understand that so that we can deal with it. It says this in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Excuse me, yeah, 2 Timothy 3, 1. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Anybody think we're living in perilous times? Times of trouble, times of distress, times of despair? I mean, suicide rates are climbing and climbing and climbing like never before. You know, in our schools, within our children, it used to be that our children were safe, that our children were protected, that you almost didn't have to think about those kinds of things. But now suicide and self-harm and anxiety and depression rates among our children are at some of the highest levels ever recorded. Ever recorded. Perilous times are upon us, and we need to do something about it. And it says this, for in these times men shall be lovers of their own selves. They'll be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. What are all those things? It's pride. Almost every single one of those things that was just named there has to do with pride, right? It goes on, without natural affection. That means heartless. Pride. People are heartless because they're prideful. Truce breakers, pride. False accusers, pride. Incontinent, that means without self-control. What else is there? Fierce, despisers of those that do good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Pride, 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 pride. And you think, well, I'm not prideful, right? We all think, I'm not prideful. I don't have any pride. If you say that, I'm going to speak as the words of Pastor Michael Laketic, you reek of it. If you say you're not prideful, you reek of it. And some people, and I'm gonna show you this, I'm gonna show you two case studies today from the Word of God of people who were prideful. And I'm gonna show you that there's actually two kinds of pride that we deal with. I'm gonna get there in just a minute. But we see here over and over again, pride is the cause of these perilous times that we live in today. And we need to get it right, or else there's just gonna keep coming hardship and tests and trials in our lives and in the lives of those around us. I'm gonna give you a definition of pride here. Pride is this: it's self-confidence, it's boasting, it's an insolent or empty assurance. An empty assurance, right? What does that mean? An empty assurance means this: that you have confidence. You have a level of confidence in yourself and in other things around you that is not warranted. Where should our confidence be? In the Lord. If your confidence, if your assurance is anywhere but in God Himself, you've got pride. You've got pride to deal with, right? We don't think of that as pride often, that if are not trusting in God and having a lack of faith in God is pride. But if you're not trusting in God, then you're trusting in something else. So you have pride that you've got to work out of there. It says this: pride trusts in its own power, in its own resources, and shamefully despises and violates divine laws and human rights. It violates divine laws and human rights. I love that it says divine laws, because so many of us out there, so many in the world are constantly violating divine laws. They're going against God. They are becoming enemies of God. They're attacking God, and they're doing it through the root of pride in their life. Don't be a person of pride and of arrogance that fights against God because you want your own way, right? We're either for God or we're against Him. There's no in between. We need to put pride in its proper place. Take pride not in yourself, not in your stuff, not in your giftings and callings, but take pride in God Himself. That's where our pride should lie, is that God is the creator of heaven and earth. He is the one who has come and He's given His one and only Son to die on the cross for our sins so that we could be saved. And that's where our pride, that's where our confidence, that's where our hope is to lie. Our pride is in God. Our pride is not to be in one another. Our pride is not to be in any man or woman of God. Our confidence is not to be in any man or woman of God. I heard one minister say this one time, and you have to catch the spirit of this. And it's this, praise the Lord. There's no such thing as a great man of God. There's no such thing as a great man of God. Now hear me out on this. Because there's only one person that can be called great, and that's God Himself. God is the creator of the universe who has chosen in His humility to come down and dwell in weak and useless vessels so that they could be used in His power and His glory. There's no great men of God. Yes, there are men of God, men and women of God, who have humbled themselves to a measure and have been used of God in great and mighty ways. But we're not supposed to push them up onto a pedestal and worship them and look at them as they are it. Like they're the goal. That's not the goal. It's a great example. It's a great example of what we can do and a level that we can attain to, but our ultimate example, our ultimate level should be that of Christ Jesus. Right? Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God as dear children. Imitators of God. That's who we're to imitate. And if we're not imitating God, then we've got pride to work out of our lives. Praise the Lord. If you want unity with God, then we need to realize that we all deal with pride. We all deal with pride. So I'm gonna get in here to the two kinds of pride that we deal with. This isn't something new. This isn't some revelation that I had. This is something that's honestly been stirring in my heart for quite a while. And once you hear it, you're gonna be like, yeah, that makes sense. You know, because pride, let me get in here. The first kind of pride is this: it's active pride. Active pride. Everyone knows this kind of pride. It's obvious because those that are walking in active pride make it obvious. They're the prideful, they're the arrogant ones, they're the boasters. They're always talking about I, me, 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 like give me what I want, do this for me. They're manipulators. They're those that try to come at you and use you to better their lives. That's pride, right? It's often the extroverts. I'm an extrovert, clearly. I'm sure you realize that I'm an extrovert. It's often the extroverts, but it's not only limited to extroverts. But, you know, often, sorry, moving my microphone here. Often, extroverts and those in active pride will get outside of the plans of God. They'll go too far past the plans of God. That's what I should say. Because they're driven by ambition. They're driven by this zeal for God, but they go beyond what God has called them to do, and they do more, and they get themselves in trouble. They get themselves hurt. They're too eager because they want to be in the spotlight at all times, right? They want to be showcased. They're show-offs. They love themselves. They're confident in their own abilities, so they often forget to trust in and to ask God. Yeah. Those that have active pride, they are confident in their own abilities, so they often forget to trust in and ask God for help. I've done it many times. I just think, oh, I know how to do this, so I'm just going to go do it. But you never ask God. You never ask for his grace. You never ask for his help. You never ask for his strength. And then it gets hard and it gets tough, right? People that are in active pride think that they're God's gift to this green earth, right? Yeah, they think they're God's gift to this green earth. They think, I am the man of the hour with power, right? I don't know if I said that right. I've heard it before, but I can't repeat it, obviously, you know? But they think they're God's gift to this green earth. And you have to be careful. This is obviously very easy to recognize, right? We all can recognize this kind of pride in our life. We can recognize that these are things that we need to deal with because God's not pleased with this, right? This kind of pride puts yourself above others, and it also puts yourself above God. This active pride can be naturally dangerous, and it can happen quick with this natural pride. This is the kind of pride that took over Moses' life, right? When Moses, he knew that he was the man of God for that time, called to lead Israel out of the wilderness, but he rose up in pride and he killed the Egyptian. He went too far in his zeal and in his ambition, and he killed a man who really didn't deserve to be killed at that time. Israel was enslaved. That's what it was. It was not his right to go and kill that man. And because of that immediate danger, he faced 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years in the wilderness because of his pride, because he allowed it to rear its ugly head in its life. Joseph, his pride, I'm gonna be king. Hey, brothers, I'm gonna be king. Ha, 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 ha. Into the ditch, into the hole, right? Danger, immediate danger. Another one, who's the next one? Satan himself, Lucifer. Pride bag, obviously. He is the author and the root of all pride. Kicked out of heaven, kicked out of the courts of God, you know, fall into the earth like a thunderbolt of lightning and cast down to the ground forever, right? Because of pride. I, me. I'm gonna be like God. I can usurp God. I'm better than God. We're gonna get there to talk about Satan. That's gonna be our number one case study, our first case study that we're gonna talk about. But before that, we're gonna get into passive pride. This is the one that lurks. This is the one that's subtle. This is the one that a lot of us deal with, and we think we don't have any pride until we start realizing how pride rears its ugly head in this passive pride. This is not the pride of ego and open boast. This is the kind of pride that makes you want to hide and not be noticed. It's for fear of embarrassment. It's for fear of failure. It's for fear of the opinions and judgments of others. That's the passive kind of pride. Oftentimes we think, I'm humble because I don't want to get up and talk to anybody. I don't want to go witness to somebody. I don't want to be seen. Just keep me in the background. I don't want to be seen. That can be of the right heart. That can be of humility. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to get a bunch of people to rise up and just say, I'll do this, I'll do that. Stay in your lane. Stay where you're called. Don't go out too far beyond God's plan, but also don't step back and be so prideful that you don't want to step into something that God has for you. Because some people are fearful to do what God wants them to do, and that's pride as well. Again, I'm gonna read this. You want to hide. You don't wanna be noticed for fear of embarrassment or failure or the opinions and judgments of others. This kind of pride is the one that hindered Jonah. That's the second case study we're gonna look at tonight. That kind of pride hindered Jonah. A lot of times we might not think of Jonah as prideful because he hid, he ran from God, he didn't want to speak the word of God, he didn't want to call out people in their sin, he didn't want to do the things that God called him to do, even though the gifting was on his life. And you think, oh man, he was a humble guy. He's such a humble guy. No, he was a pride bag. He was an absolute pride bag, and we have to realize that. Praise the Lord. This kind of pride has, excuse me, let me see here, yes. The passive kind of pride has confidence in itself, but it's in the opposite direction. It's in relation to what it cannot do. You have pride in what you're not good at. And so you start making a list. I won't do this for God. I won't do this for God. This is something I won't do for God. This is somewhere I won't go for God. And you don't realize that you're putting yourself in a place of pride. We've done it. We've had those lists in our head that I'll do all of these things for God, but I won't do this because it makes me uncomfortable. Makes me uncomfortable, right? That's pride. Wow. Glory to God. Another thing with passive pride, those with passive pride will not act or speak for fear of doing or saying the wrong thing or for fear of not doing it good enough. For fear of not doing it good enough. Because you think that it's all about you and that if you aren't good enough at it, if you aren't the best at it, I'm just not gonna do it at all. And then that way I can't get in trouble with God. I'm gonna be fine. But you don't realize that it's not you doing it anyway. It's not your power, it's not your giftings, it's not your ability, it all comes from God. So you need to turn from that pride and rest in God. Humble yourself, die to yourself, die to your wishes, and humble yourself before God. Then you can go and do those things. Praise the Lord. And like I said, passive pride is very subtle. It lurks and creeps into the corners of your mind and your life, so you don't even recognize it's there. You don't recognize it. But this same kind of pride will keep you out of spiritual growth and out of God's plan for your life as well. But it's hard to notice this because other people don't notice this kind of pride. You can hide this kind of pride in your life and mask it as humility. And a lot of times people won't even realize it. They won't know. But you need to take inventory of your own life today and check, am I in pride? Because like I said, a lot of times you think of that active type of pride, but you forget that there's another side to pride. Praise the Lord. What you're gonna see from this case study today is that pride is dangerous for everyone. Not just yourself, but everyone around you. And we need to strike a balance. We need to strike a balance because balancing our lives is what brings stability to our lives. That's the purpose of the Word of God, is to bring stability. Because where there's stability, there's unity. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's go here. Turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel 28. We're gonna get into this. We're gonna start talking about the first case study, and that's gonna be Satan himself. So that was just my introduction there, praise the Lord. Why can't I find, there it is, praise the Lord. Ezekiel 28. And this is actually kind of a dual case study because in the book of the prophets in Ezekiel here, it's talking about two figures in one. It's talking about the king of Tyre, or the king of Tyrus, but it's also talking about Satan himself. You see, Satan works through leaders, right? And that's exactly what Satan was doing to the king of Tyrus, is he was working in the background, moving his influence and his pride through the king of Tyrus. And we're gonna see both of those examples here. Remember, this first case study is the case study of the active pride. And in verse 28, it says this, "The word of the Lord came to me again, saying, 'Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas, yet you are a man and not God. Thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, you are wiser than Daniel.'" So we see this here. This was a wise king, wiser than Daniel. And Daniel was a very wise king of Hebrews, right? But he took that wisdom and he elevated himself as if he was a God himself, right? We can't do that. Obviously, this is simple, people, right? We don't want to be like God. I don't think I have to say much more other than that. But this was that active pride working in his life. He saw that he was powerful. He saw that he was full of wisdom. He saw that he had this strength and this sovereignty over the people that he ruled over, that he's like, I'm God. I'm God. I can do no wrong. I've got all power. I can do as I please. I sit in the seats of heaven. And he saw himself as God himself. But if we go down to Ezekiel verse 13, we see this. This is the dual kind of explanation of this that I'm talking about, where Satan's working in the background to bring about this pride. And it says this, "But thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God, Who was in Eden, the Garden of God? Was it Tyrus? Was he a time traveler and he went back and he was in Eden? No, it was Satan, Lucifer himself. And it says this, every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper. It says this, I'm gonna skip down, the workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in the day that you were created. He was a beautiful anointed cherub angel. I'm not talking about the little baby cherub. No, he was, you know, in the courts of God, praising and worshiping God. He was a magnificent angel, full of beauty, wisdom, and strength and power. It says this, you were perfect in your ways. God created him a perfect being. But it says this, from the day that you were created until iniquity was found in you. Until iniquity was found in Satan, he was perfect, he was beautiful, he was holy. It says this in verse 16, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as a profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Going to verse 17, and here's where the pride comes in. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness, and I will cast you to the ground. I will lay you before kings that they may behold you. Wow. Because of Satan's pride and his arrogance, he was cast out of the garden of God. He was cast down from the throne of God and from heaven. And because of that, he became nothing. He became ashes. Anyone that tries to rise up and fight against God will fail. They will come to nothing. So don't be the prideful. Don't be the arrogant. Don't be the one that thinks that you've got enough giftings, you've got enough ability, you've got enough strength that you can do it on your own and you never have to go to God for anything. That you can be a God of your own life. And there's a lot of people that are acting like that, that they're gods of their own life nowadays. Go back to Isaiah chapter 14, and we're going to read. So that was the king of Tyrus. But again, Satan had influence on another king, and that was the king of Babylon here in Isaiah chapter 14. And we're going to read this again here. We're going to start in verse 12, Isaiah 14, verse 12. We need to make sure that we're keeping this active pride out of our lives. Again, this is the easy job. This is the easy task because it's very apparent in our lives. I think if you are dealing with this active pride that you are good, you are awesome, that you can do no wrong, that you put yourselves above others, that you put yourself above God, that, you know, this is the kind of pride that needs to be dealt with. And it's easy to understand that. But in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12, it says this, how thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations. For you had said in your own heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation and the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. I. When everything is about you, when everything is about what you can do and about your power and your glory, that's pride, right? But what do we need to realize here? That this isn't just about one king of Babylon. I did a little study on this. This scripture here isn't talking about a specific king, but the kingdom of Babylon. So if we look into history, there's a king in Babylon that we can look to as an example of this. And it's Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, right? He was a king who made himself a golden image and ordered people to bow down before it, right? He's like, I'm awesome, I'm like God, worship me, I'm powerful, I'm mighty, you know, and so he had people bow down to his image. Not only that, but he had people in his life where he got his answers that was apart from the word of God. So let's see here. The number one thing about pride is this, and so here's where we're gonna get into the points of the message. Our pride will make us self-focused. It's gonna make us very self-focused. All about me, all about I, all about how other people can do things for you and not about what you can do for other people, right? Don't be so prideful and self-focused because that's, right, we talked about that's the world. The world today, as it was prophesied, is full of pride and it's only about what the world can do for you, what the government can do for you, what other people can do for you, how other people can make you feel, if they're making you feel good or bad, if you know they're accepting of your ways of living, if they're accepting of your truths and your identities, then that's what matters. But that's not what matters. It's not about what they do for you and how they make you feel and how they lift you up and how they encourage you. It's about what are you doing for other people? That's humility, is what you're doing for other people. But we see here that that's not the mind of Satan. That's not the mind of the king of Tyrus. That's not the mind of Nebuchadnezzar and the king of Babylon. We will try to put ourselves before God and his kingdom work when we do that, when it's all about me. Yeah? Because think about this. There's a certain Bible verse in the Bible. I think it's in Matthew. Maybe I have that written down here. Oh, sorry. John 14 and verse 13. Jesus says this. You don't have to turn there. He says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I will do. And I'm going to stop there for a second. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, that I will do. And a lot of people take that Bible verse and they start asking for cars and houses and money and do this for me and do that for me. And God, can you get this for me? And I need this and that and this and that. And all of these things that you need. It's all about me, me, me. It's all about I. But we never go on to the next part of that verse. Ask the Father in my name and I will give it to you. And he says this, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That is the context of that Bible verse. It's not about ask and you shall receive whatever you want in life. It's asking that you shall receive pertaining to the kingdom of God, pertaining to seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right? In pertaining, that pertains to building up the kingdom of God, to seeing people saved, to seeing people set free from bondages in their life. That's what it's talking about, is going to God and asking him in faith so that we can see the power of God on this earth. But again, it's not gonna happen if it's all about me, 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 I want this and that, right? We've got to put our faith in the right place. Our faith is not just for the stuff that we want on this earth. God wants us blessed. He wants us to prosper. The Bible even says that he gave us all things richly to enjoy. But are we putting those things before we put God? Right? Because if we are, that's a place of pride and we need to deal with that thing. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. What about Nebuchadnezzar's golden image? Romans 1:25 says this. And actually, this is another prophecy of the time that they were living in our time too. It says this, there were those people who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. When you worship creature before you worship creator, you are a person of pride. And you're sitting there thinking, well, I'm not bowing down to anything. I'm not worshiping anything. All right, I'm gonna use this example that I learned at camp. Bowing down to your phone, right? Yeah, maybe it's cheesy, whatever, but we do it every day, right? I'm not saying go throw your phones in the trash. I'm not saying that. I'm not even saying get off social media. I'm not even saying get off of all of these things online. They have a purpose. They can have a function in your life. But are you bowing down to your phone every day? Are you bowing down to the voices that you're hearing on TikTok? Are you bowing down to the voices that you're hearing on YouTube? Are you bowing down to the voices that you hear on TV because you just can't get enough of it? Right? Why don't we bow down our heads into the word of God and get what God has for us? Learn more about him. Learn about his glory and his power and his knowledge and his wisdom so that his wisdom can become our wisdom and so that his power can become our power so that we can go out and we can affect the word of or the world around us by this word of God, right? Stop worshiping creature rather than creator. And we do that when we elevate the people in our lives. We elevate these celebrities. We elevate the people who have made themselves into the prideful of this world, into idols of the world through TikTok and YouTube and social media. We all see it. Everybody's so prideful nowadays. Everybody's got a voice. Everybody's got an image. Everybody's got, you know, they want to get themselves out there and show everybody what their life is like and how awesome their life is. Posting shots of their vacation, posting shots of this, posting shots of their new car and their new house and all of this stuff. I'm not saying that's bad. Listen, I want to make sure that I'm clear. I'm not saying stop doing that stuff, but make sure that if you're doing it, it's of the right heart. I love seeing people's, you know, adventures and their experiences and the blessing that God has for them, but make sure that it comes out of the right heart and not out of pride. And look at me and look at what God's done for me. Oh my goodness, I gotta be careful here. I do care what God's doing in your life, but it's not so much that I'm like, you are awesome. You've hung the moon. Like, look at how faithful you are. Remember, there's no great men and women of God, but only a God who chooses to bless us. You know what? A lot of times we think that we've served God enough that we deserve the things that we have in life. We don't deserve anything. We don't deserve anything. So if you think that you've earned anything in life, that you've done the work and you've put in the effort and you've put in the blood, sweat, and the tears, and that that's why you have this thing, no. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Praise the Lord. Let's move on. Glory to God. The number two thing that I wanted to talk about is that pride seeks answers apart from God. And this goes right along in with what I was just talking about with social media, TikTok, Facebook, because guess what? You can get all kinds of answers from those sources, right? You know, of all things, TikTok, my wife's watching and she's gonna laugh at me. She goes, you don't have to see a TikTok and put it in your sermon the next day. This one just so happened to fit. All right, there's this guy on there and he goes, and it was true, though. It was so true. And this is not me getting my source of truth. I mean, this seems kind of backwards that I'm talking about this, but hear me out. He's like, you can get any source of truth online nowadays. No wonder we're so confused, right? And he did this little search. He goes, let me do this real quick. So he searched this. He said, I bet I can go online and find out that coffee causes blindness. And so he did a little Google search. Yeah, studies show that coffee drinking more than 3 cups a day increases your chances of glaucoma and blindness. I bet this now, I can go right to Google and I can type in, coffee helps your vision. Sure enough, it's shown that people who drink 3 cups of coffee a day, that it's shown that it improves their eyesight. What is it? I don't know, right? Do we drink coffee or not to drink coffee? That is the question now, right? I mean, so where are we getting our truth from? Where are we getting our answers from? Because you can't trust the stuff that you hear on the interwebs. You can't trust it. These people make stuff up. These people lie because they're prideful. I'm telling, I hate that I have to say this nowadays. My gosh. I feel like it used to be something that you had to say because it was like, you know, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, like conspiracies on the internet. But you cannot trust everything you hear on the internet. Even your favorite Instagrammer, YouTuber, Reels maker, TikToker, you can't trust everything they say. What does it line up to? It's from the Word of God? Does it just sound like the Word of God? It's not okay if it just sounds like the Word of God. Is it from the Word of God? That's what matters. There's a lot of things that sound biblical. There's a lot of ideas that sound like they're straight from the Bible, but they're not. Some of the basic ones. Oh my goodness, what is it? Godliness is next to cleanliness. It's not in the Bible, people, but it seems like it's something that would be in the Bible. And I guess it's a principle of the Bible, but it's not a Bible verse. But even simple things like that, but the world has taken that to extremes. And they've used the Bible, like I was talking last week, to make up their own doctrines and their own theologies. That's what Nebuchadnezzar did. He went to his sorcerers and his magicians and his seers. That was his TikTok, Facebook, and Google search of the day. Are we going to be like an evil king, and instead of going to the Word for our answers, are we going to go to the world for our answers? That's pride. Praise the Lord. Let's move on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Turn in your Bibles to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. We went through, I think we got enough of the active pride and what that looks like. Again, I think that we all have an understanding of what that's like in our lives. So let's talk about the passive kind of pride. Because like I said, you might think that he wasn't prideful, you know, because Nebuchadnezzar, right, he thought that he was God's gift to the earth. He thought that he was the man of power for the hour, but Jonah didn't. So Jonah was humble. He was a humble prophet. No, he wasn't. He didn't think himself to be a gift to anyone. He didn't, right? But he had a great passive pride. I'm going to go ahead and give a kind of a summary of the book of Jonah here. And as we go, we're going to learn a few things. And it's this. Jonah chapter 1, we see that God spoke to Jonah and told him, go to Nineveh to proclaim their judgment because of their wickedness, right? That's what God told Jonah. He said, go to Nineveh, tell them that they're sinners, tell them that God's judgment is coming upon them and that they need to fear that. But instead, what did Jonah do? He fled to the boat. He fled to Tarshish. He fled because he didn't want to deliver God's message.
I'm gonna tell you this. If it was me, because I have some pride that I'm working on, I'm like, all right, God, I'll go. Because I've got pride in me, right? I've got an active pride. I'm like, yes, I'll do it, God, I'll go. And I would have been so ambitious to go and do that thing. I'm working it out of me. But Jonah had a different kind of pride. He didn't want to do it because of his embarrassment, because of his thoughts, because of his emotions, because of what it would be like to go there and proclaim judgment upon a whole city. Wow. He hid on the boat even. He didn't just hide from God. He didn't just hide from the people of Nineveh, but he even, when he got on that boat and that storm came, it says that he hid in the bottom corner of the boat because he didn't want anybody to be near him. He didn't want anybody to question him and to find out why he was there. Even when the people started calling out to their gods, saying, God, God, help me, you know, deliver us from this storm that we might perish. Jonah's still there. It says that he was sleeping in the bottom of the boat. He could care less. He could care less about the plan of God, and he could care less about the other people on that boat that were perishing because of him. Wow. Are we that way? That we're so prideful, we're so emotional, we're so embarrassed that we don't even care about the other people in our lives and around us that are perishing because we don't want to go do it. We don't want to go talk to God. We don't want to step out and do something that we're supposed to. So we're going to put other people's lives in jeopardy because of our pride in our life. He didn't want to go because he was complacent, right? And that's the number three thing that I'm talking about here today is pride brings complacency. And I'm going to ask you that question today. Are you complacent with where you're at right now? Now, again, I didn't say content. Content is a godly, holy thing that we need in our lives, right? We need to be content whether we have a lot or whether we have a little. We need to be content whether things are going good or whether things are going bad. We learn that in the book of Philippians, Paul's letter to the Philippians, that in all things, Paul learned to be content, right? But we might be content, but are we being too complacent with where we're at? And do we know that there's things in our heart that God has spoken to us, things that God told us, he's told us to do, that he's spoken to our lives, spoken to our hearts, but we won't do it because we're too embarrassed. Because it's too hard, it's too emotional, I'm not good at that, I can't, you know, I'm not strong enough, I don't have enough wisdom, I don't have enough knowledge, that's pride. It's still all about you. All about you when you're saying those things. I can't do it. I'm not strong enough. I. All the reasons in the world to be a pessimist in this life, right? But it's pride. Because you're still disobeying God and you're still not walking in unity with his plans. Jonah was not in unity with his plans just as much as Satan was not in unity with God's plans, just as much as the king of Tyrus, just as much as Nebuchadnezzar. They all were in disunity with God and calamity came to their lives. Right? Again, I said this before when talking about it, but sometimes our pride will make us do nothing for fear of being judged by failure. Isn't that what Jonah faced? He was fearing being judged by failure. You know, and the funny thing is that he could care less that he was a prophet. He could care less about the gifts and callings of God on his life. But our pride, when we're complacent, will keep us from reaching others. But it will also put them into a place of danger. Jonah was in danger. He didn't care about himself, though. You're going to see in Jonah. Jonah, oh my goodness. He had some struggles. So many times he just said, I'd just rather die. Talking to God, I'd just rather die, God, than do that. I'd rather die than go and speak to them. I'd rather die than do this or do that. Because he was just complacent and he didn't care. And his pride got in the way. And it caused him to have a suicidal spirit that he'd rather die than do the works of God. And to rather help people. Praise the Lord. Our pride will make us dig in our heels. You know, and we've got to be careful of that. When God speaks something to your heart, are you just going to dig in your heels and hold back and, no, God, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to go there. Are we going to humble ourselves like Jesus did? Humbled himself to the death of the cross so that many lives could be saved through him, right? That's how the power of God works, is by humbling ourselves. Whether we are high and lofty and we need to be brought low, or whether we're low and we need to be brought into balance, right? We need to humble ourselves. Praise the Lord. Jonah was not a good steward, right? Pastor Tim was teaching us that a few weeks ago about being a good steward, right? Jonah was not a good steward of the gifts and callings and the word of God that was delivered to his heart. He was a bad steward, right? And you know what? A good steward is a humble steward. You know, we need to look at that example in Matthew 25 of the parable of the talents and realize that those that went and made much of what the Lord gave them in talents, they weren't prideful in being like, oh, look at me, look at what I can do. God, look what I gave back to you. Like, I'm so awesome. No, it was in humility. But the one that got the one talent, he's like, I don't know what I can do with this. I'm scared. I know that you're a harsh judge and a harsh ruler, so I just wanted to hide it away so that way I could at least give it back to you. He didn't want the challenge. He didn't want the hardship. He didn't want the test and the trial of going out and making something of it. It says that every man was given according to his own ability. He had the ability to take that talent and do something with it, but he didn't do it because of his pride and because of his shame and because of his weakness. So instead of trusting in God and putting his faith and his reliance on God, he put his faith and reliance on his own self and he didn't do anything at all. Is that you in your life? That you're not doing anything at all because you think that you're not gifted enough, you don't think you have enough talents, or any other excuse that you can come up with. Excuses are just pride rearing its ugly head in your life. Don't make excuses on why you can't do something for God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let me say this. What if we looked at those talents as souls saved, right? A lot of times we look at it as just simple money, or we look at it as God's physical talents and abilities that he gives us, but what if he looked at those talents as souls saved, right? Are we going to be the person that says, well, I'm not a pastor, I'm not Billy Graham, I'm not a minister, I don't have a call of God on my life to have a pulpit and to speak to people, so I'm just gonna go ahead and live my life. That's burying your talent in the ground and doing nothing with it. Who are you gonna bring with you to heaven one day? Humble yourself and say, I know I'm not that, and I don't have to be that. I don't have to be a Billy Graham or a pastor to make a difference for the kingdom of God. Instead, I'm gonna humble myself. I'm gonna put down my own stuff, my own desires, and my own will, and I'm gonna go out and reach people for Jesus Christ. I'm gonna stop praying about my own stuff and my own desires and my own weaknesses and my own failures and my own shortcomings, and instead, I'm gonna trust and rely on God, and I'm gonna start praying for others, right? Just as much as we can pray for the house and the car and the money and all of these things in pride, we can pray for our weaknesses and our failures and our shortcomings, but we don't even realize that God's already taken care of that, and we walk in his strength. The Bible says in Corinthians, when I am weak, then I am strong in Christ Jesus. Weakness is not a bad thing. Weakness in itself is not a bad thing, because when you recognize that you are weak, then God's strength can be made strong in you. But don't rest in your weakness and say, well, I'm weak, God, so I can't do anything for you. I'm weak. Praise the Lord. You think that you not getting on a stage, that you refusing to sing in the choir, or that getting up and giving a testimony, or any public activity that you could do, you think that by not doing those things, that's a good and a humble thing. But you don't realize that it's actually your pride keeping you from doing those things. There's so many people that I've heard, well, I don't want to get up on stage. I don't want to do that. And they don't understand and realize how that's actually pride rearing its head in their lives, because they don't want the spotlight on them so that they can see their face, that they can see their, oh my goodness, people have so many weird things about, like, well, I don't want them to judge me with how I move my hands, the facial expressions I make, the way that I look, or what if I say the wrong words? What if I do the wrong thing? That's still pride. Still pride just as much as those that are rip-roaring and ready to go to get out there and be zealous for God and ambitious, right? Praise the Lord. Jonah chapter 2, we know what happened. Jonah was eventually thrown off the boat. Did he resist being thrown off the boat? No, he said that originally. He said, throw me off the boat because I'm the one I'm the reason why the storm is here. And they're like, no, we're not gonna do that. And he's like, okay, still laid there. And then finally they came back to him. He's like, all right, Jonah, we're gonna throw you off the boat. And I can guarantee you, you're gonna see this in Jonah's life, that it probably wasn't a big deal to Jonah. He didn't really care much. He didn't care. He's probably like, all right, take me to the waters. Drown me in the depths. I'd rather not live. That was his life. He just didn't care. But God still had a plan for him. We think that the fish was God's judgment upon him. And in a measure it was, but it was really God rescuing him. Because Jonah didn't have enough grunt and enough ego to actually swim himself to shore. He literally, I can almost guarantee you, he would have just like jumped in the water and just,
goodbye, old world.
Right? That was him, because he was complacent. He just didn't care. He didn't care. So he was thrown off the boat. He got right with God in the mouth of the fish. God spoke to his heart. He worked on him. Jonah repented, and he went back to Nineveh, right? God spit him out on the shores of Nineveh. And it says this in Jonah chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came again unto Jonah a second time, saying, arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. It doesn't matter how many times you ignore the plans and the call of God. The thing that God's put into your heart, he's going to start you right back over there. You can't skip it. You can't skip what God's plans are for you and go to the next step. You have to go back and you have to make it right what God spoke into your heart to do. And that's what he said. He spoke it again to Jonah to do this. And it says this, so Jonah arose and he went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of a 3 days journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city, yet a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days from now and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So we did. Praise the Lord. Jonah got right and he went and he spoke the word of God to the people. You know, and that's awesome. And look what happens when he did that. You know, because we don't realize that these people would have been lost without Jonah. They would have still been judged by God for their wickedness and their sin. It wasn't up to Jonah whether that happened or not, but Jonah had a part to play in the saving of them. And it says this, so the people of Nineveh, in verse 5, the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, and from the greatest to them, even to the least of them, they fasted, they prayed, they sought God, they repented, they got on their hands and knees, and they got right with God, right? That's because of the word of God preached to them. And, you know, even the king, head down to verse 9. This is the words of the king. But who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we would perish not? And it says this, and God saw their works, that they were turned from their evil ways, and God repented of the evil. And he said that he repented of the evil that he said he would do unto them, and he did it not. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. These people got right with God. These were people that were saved, right? But because of Jonah's complacency, these people almost lost their lives. They almost lost their lives. And you'd think, okay, great. Jonah's good. He got right with God. Everything's happy and good, you know, but no. Because the next thing is this. Pride shows offense and it shows embarrassment. Jonah was embarrassed. Jonah was offended at God. It says this in chapter 4 and verse 1. Again, you'd think he'd be happy, but it says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Seriously? Jonah. Pride bag. He was so prideful and arrogant, and I'm gonna show you why. It says this, and he prayed unto the Lord and said this, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying? When I was yet in my country, therefore I fled before you into Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God, you're merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and you do repent of evil. That's not saying God does evil. It's just saying that he's going to relent from judgment if people are going to get right. And it says this, therefore now, O Lord, because I'm embarrassed, because I'm offended at you. I told them that judgment was going to come in 40 days and judgment didn't come. So now they think I'm a false prophet. Now they think that I'm worthless. Look at that. I went and I did what you said, God. I told them that judgment was coming and now it's not coming. So just kill me now. That's what he said. Kill me now, God. I'd rather die than to face these people. They thought I was a prophet. And look at, they're like, Jonah, look, we're still living. We're still alive. He was embarrassed. He was offended at God. If you're embarrassed or if you're offended at God because of something that he's chosen to work in somebody else's life, because of the way that he used somebody, if you're embarrassed because you were shown as wrong, that's pride. Especially if you're shown wrong by God and his word, right? The reason that he didn't want to go tell them of God's judgment was for fear that God would bring mercy upon them and he would be seen as wrong. So much so was his embarrassment and his emotions and his emotional turmoil that he just wanted to die. That's why I said, he didn't care if he got thrown overboard because he would have rather just died anyway, right? Jonah thought he knew better than God, right? His emotions in that moment were so strong that he didn't even care if people would live or die and if they would even serve God. He only cared about himself. He only cared about how it made him look and about how it made him feel. Pride, thinking about yourself, that's the passive kind of pride, right? He wasn't the bold, you know, prophet that we think prophets were like. No, he was a very timid prophet, but he wasn't humble. He wasn't a humble prophet. Listen to this. We aren't better than anyone else around us, right? Apparently, he thought that he was and that they didn't deserve mercy, that they didn't deserve grace. And he made up his mind about this before. That's why he didn't go. That's why he didn't go is because he thought that they didn't deserve mercy, that they didn't deserve grace. He knew God is merciful. He knew God is full of grace, but he made up his own mind in his own pride and said, they don't deserve it though. So I'm gonna flee from before the presence of God and I'm gonna hide. And he knew that he did wrong, and now he's facing his emotions, and he's like, I'd just rather die. Wow. This is what happens when we act like we're better than others because we're Christian, right? We sit back and we think, well, I don't got to do anything because I'm a Christian, I'm good. And we look at them and we're like, well, they don't deserve it. They don't deserve God's grace. They don't deserve God's mercy. Who are you to make that decision? If God has spoken to your heart to speak to somebody, I don't care how far gone you think they are. There's always redemption available. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It doesn't matter how much ability you think that you have, the gospel is still the power of God to salvation. So preach the gospel and they'll get saved, right? It's not about you anyway. It's not about how good of a minister or preacher or teacher of the word of God you are. It doesn't matter how much understanding of the Bible that you have. You can still go out and you can still humble yourself before God and do his will and see people saved. But he was so offended. He said, I would rather die. It says, and it says this, he went on in verse 5, it says, I'm just gonna summarize this. He went in verse 5 and he even sat back and he's like, well, what's gonna happen to the city? Is God gonna bring judgment or are they just gonna thrive? And he'd just rather sit back and see if they're gonna die because that's what he wanted. That was what he originally wanted. So he just sits back. And then God brings him a little lesson, right? He brings him a lesson. He brings the gourd and the hot heat to shade him. That's what the Bible says, and he was relieved. But then that gourd, he sends a bug to go and break that gourd down, and then the hot heat comes, and it says that he could faint, and he goes, I'm so hot, I could just die. Again, with the death stuff, Jonah, like, he was having a battle. Listen, I'm not making light of suicide. I'm not making light of depression and mental illness and stuff. He was going through it. But because of his pride, he would rather die than see the plans of God come to pass. Right? Praise the Lord. We need to make sure that we've got God first in our life. And it says this, praise the Lord. And God said to Jonah, does it do you any well for you to be angry at the gourd? And Jonah said this, and he said, it does well for me to be angry again, even unto death. He just wants to die because he's so prideful. He's like, I'd rather die than go and do this thing. Than to be happy for somebody or to go and do the works of God and the plans of God. Have you thought that? I can almost guarantee you that there's people in this room that would think, I'd rather die than go and speak in front of people. Careful. Careful. That's pride. That's pride. You think that you'd rather be in a hospital than go and talk to somebody or get up in front of somebody or put yourself in a position of a spotlight. And you think it's humility, but it's not. It's pride. Be careful. There are plans and purposes that God has for this church, for this local body of Christ, for this region, but it's gonna require all the hands, all the feet, all the body parts of the body of Christ to get this job done. He can't do it without you. You are not insignificant sitting in these chairs. You have a part to play in the body of Christ. You have a part to play. Don't think that you're less than. Don't think that you're worthless. Don't think that your only job is to come sit here, hear the preacher preach the word, hear the word of God, and to go home and just enjoy your life. No, you have a plan and a purpose in this life and in this earth. Isn't that what Pastor Tim brought about being a Barnabas? Barnabas was humble. But he was a layperson. He wasn't a minister of God. He was not called to a fivefold office. He didn't have a pulpit. But what he did is he humbled himself. He went and he won people to Christ. And then he brought them into the church. He brought them into the congregation. He told them and he discipled people. Are you out there? Are you discipling people? Are you winning people to Christ? Are you showing the goodness and the grace of God in your life so that other people can come to a saving knowledge of the truth? Or are you just sitting back, hiding away in your house, not reaching anybody? Not proclaiming your faith? Are you afraid to tell people? Because if you are, it's pride. God said this, should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, where there is more than 120,000 people that cannot discern between their right hand and their left? These people out there in the world, they don't know any better. This is not to make fun of them. This is not to say that they're stupid, that they're just dumb people. They just don't know because they don't have the gospel. How are they going to know if there's not somebody to preach the gospel to them? How are they going to know? Right? There's no other way. You think, well, I'll just invite them to church. Yeah, that's great. That's a good step. But a lot of people don't want to come to church because they don't have any reason to. They don't serve a God, so they don't think that they need to go to a church to worship him, right? You know? So what are we going to do? We need to submit ourselves. We need to be humbled under the mighty hand of God. We need to become like Jesus Christ, humbled as a servant, willing to go and do whatever it takes to get people to see the kingdom of God in his life, right? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and then he will exalt you in due time. God gives grace to the, or God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Right? You have a treasure on the inside of you, but it's not going to come out until you step up. Sometimes it's going to take boldness. Boldness is not pride. Boldness is not pride. It could be in a way, but boldness is not pride. You stepping out in boldness and witnessing to somebody is you being humble, putting down your thoughts, putting down your desires and your emotions to go and win somebody to Christ. Praise the Lord. We've got to do that. Glory to God. Let's make sure that we are doing the works of God. We're walking in unity with God. If we've got pride rearing its ugly head in our life, whether it's that active kind of pride or whether it's that passive kind of pride, we've made ourselves an enemy of God. Don't be an enemy of God. Praise the Lord. We need to walk with God because guess what? Satan devours those who walk in pride. I'm going to finish here with 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Go ahead and pull that up here. Glory to God. Finishing up. And that's the truth. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Again, about dwelling in unity. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yes, all of you be subject one to another. That's humility. Be clothed with the humility, for God resists the proud, and he gives grace unto the humble. Go on to the next verse. And it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And it says this, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. You want to know why you're so tired? You want to know why you're so weighed down in life? It's because of pride. Cast your cares on God. Don't hold on to him anymore. Don't have a care for your life. Don't care if it makes you look good or looks bad. Don't care if it makes you brings you up or brings you down. Just humble yourself before God. Cast all of your cares upon him. For he cares for you. It's him working through you anyway. It's not of you. I can tell you this, that if you would just get a little boldness about you and you would step out and do what God has called you to do, his grace and his power will show up. And it's like, you're not even doing it anyway. It's like, you're not even doing it because his grace is so strong in your life. Praise the Lord. But know this, it says, it goes on, I think it's verse 8. Be sober and be vigilant about your humility and about your pride, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil is going to devour those who are walking in pride, right? Isn't that what happened to the king of Tyrus? Satan devoured himself with his own pride. The king of Babylon, it didn't happen to Jonah. He was devoured in life because of his pride. I don't want to see anybody here devoured in life because of the pride that's trying to rear its ugly head in their lives. And know this too. It's time to offer our lives as a living sacrifice. Don't have that book in your life of things that you won't do for God. Humility needs to be your action in life. Everything you do, you just say, God, if this is what you'd have me to do, I'll do it. Doesn't matter what it makes me feel. Doesn't matter what it makes other people think of me. I'm gonna do it. I'll change my life. I'll be more like you so that I might win some, right? Praise the Lord. And know this too, repentance requires humility. There's a lot of people out there. There's a lot of people in the body of Christ that don't repent because they're too prideful. I'm calling on you tonight. Don't make yourself your own Lord and Savior. Don't make yourself your own Lord and your own Savior. You can't do it. Nobody in this world can be their own Savior. There's only one Lord and one Savior, and that's Jesus Christ himself. Praise the Lord. Would you guys help today? Would this bring some understanding about how pride works in your life and how it's so subtle and creeps around? You know, again, we all deal with it. There's not one person in this room here that is completely humble, but we're all working towards being one with Christ Jesus, walking in unity in the faith, right? Be imitators of God as dear children. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may lift you up in due time. Praise the Lord. Thanks, everyone. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's a help to us and it's a strength to our lives, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that we've realized now how our pride and our arrogance, how our list and our embarrassment and our self-focus keeps us away from your highest and best. We know, Father God, according to your word, that you've got great plans, plans not to harm us, but to prosper us, to give us a hope and a future. But now we have a better understanding that when we're walking in pride, when we're walking in arrogance, when we have those things that we won't do for you, that will keep us from your highest and best from our life, but it will also endanger the lives of others around us. And I want to see so many people saved for the glory of God. So I'm gonna ask this question here today. Maybe you heard this message and you realize that you've been fighting against God. You've made yourself an enemy of God. You've become your own Lord and you've become your own Savior of your life. And you know in your heart that you need to repent of your sins, that you were wrong, and that you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to submit your lives to him. You need to humble yourself before God. If that's you here today, all I'm gonna ask you to do right now is just with nobody looking around, just go ahead and lift up your hand this morning and we can all pray together and you can accept Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. You could submit yourself to God so that his grace can come onto your life. So that you don't, there will be tests, there will be trials, there may be hardships, but that you have an answer and a hope in Christ Jesus. So if that's you here today and you don't know Jesus and you want to know Jesus, go ahead and lift up your hand. Praise the Lord. I don't see any hands here today. And it doesn't really surprise me. I think I know most everyone here. So I'm going to ask another question here this morning. Maybe you know God. Maybe you're walking with God. But after hearing today's message, you realize that there's been things that you've been holding back from God in your life. There's been things that you've been hiding away in your life and areas that you have not been submitting to God fully in your pride and in your arrogance. And you know that you need to rededicate your life to God here today. If that's you, go ahead and lift up your hand this morning. I see that hand, I see that hand, I see that hand. You can go ahead and put those hands down. Praise the Lord. Glory to God, we had a bunch of hands here this morning, and that's awesome. God's working on hearts, and it's not a time of condemnation and judgment. It's a time of rejoicing because you're getting right with God so that you can walk more in his goodness and his grace for your life. So if you raise your hand here today, go ahead and repeat this prayer after me. And why don't we all go ahead and pray this prayer today? Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. I repent of my sins. I repent of my pride. Wash me, cleanse me, make me whole again. I will live for you. I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. What were you helped this morning? Praise the Lord. Again, if you didn't like this message today, if you didn't like me, you didn't like my face, come back next week. Pastor Tim will be here. He'll be here to minister the word of God. But I hope that you got something. I hope that you got help this morning. I hope that you got life and strength. I hope that you got truth that you didn't realize that will help your life so that you can grow more into the image and likeness of God. Because that's the goal, right? Is knowing God and being more like him. Because if we're not like Christ, then people aren't gonna come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. They're gonna see us, they're gonna see the world, and they're gonna think, well, I don't have to change, I don't gotta do anything. But it's our job to bring people into the kingdom of God. We all have that ministry. Why don't you go ahead and stand up with me this morning and we'll pray and we can be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your tender kindness, Father God. And Lord God, we thank you for your grace. We realize today, right here and right now, that we can walk in a greater measure of your grace as we humble ourselves before you, Father God. I thank you and praise you that we'll go out, we'll be your hands and your feet. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. We worship you, we honor you, Father God. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen.
Amen. You are dismissed.